Please, can I have your attention? Please, please join me in welcoming Courtney Smith on her topic of Ed Bolden's Philadelphia Stars and the Negro League Baseball after integration, 1947 and 1953. Welcome, Courtney.
Good afternoon, and thank you for coming here today. So my talk is looking at the issue of integration like the other talks this afternoon are. And as we've already heard, the issue of integration in Major League Baseball is a complicated one. And so I'm going to really focus on what was lost after integration happened starting in 1947. And one thing that I think has been kind of in the news here at the conference is this is a year for anniversaries for Philadelphia sports. 1933, the Philadelphia Eagles start. 1983, the Sixers win a championship. 1983, as we heard from the players panel, Sarge Matthews and the Phillies won the National League pennant. 1993, the Phillies won the National League pennant. And unfortunately, I vividly remember what happened in the World Series that year to them. 5 years ago, 2008, I was very happy the Phillies won. This was also a year for anniversaries involving the last great Negro League team that was associated with the city of Philadelphia. 1933, this past spring, was the 80th anniversary of Ed Bolden's Philadelphia Stars debut. And then almost exactly 20 years later, so this is the 60th anniversary of their unfortunate demise. And these are both, this is kind of a little bit eerie that these are both articles or excerpts from the Philadelphia Tribune taken almost exactly 20 years apart. And so I chose to focus on the Stars this year for the talk here at Sabre because of this both happy and sad anniversary for the Stars. When the Stars went out of business in 1953, it was more than just a baseball team that was lost. It was opportunities that was lost, and it was a really important link to Philadelphia's history. The history of black baseball in Philadelphia goes back to the 1860s, right around the time that the Civil War ends and the Reconstruction era begins. The person pictured on the slide with young Ed Bolden is Octavius Valentine Caddo. Octavius Valentine Caddo was a civil rights leader who was born, raised in Philadelphia. He was an activist during the Civil War, helped recruit black troops for the Union. After the Civil War, Octavius Caddo was a member of the Knights of Pythias, which was a fraternal organization, and they started a baseball team called the Philadelphia Pythians. And this was a really a good team for a little while. They did try to break the early color barrier. Sadly, Caddo was killed on Election Day of 1871 in Philadelphia, and with him, the Pythians die. So Caddo is the first great black leader of baseball in Philadelphia. Ed Bolden was the last one. And so when the Stars go away, that connection is lost. And so that's really what I'm going to focus on today. And so this is just to get a sense of Ed Bolden. We heard a little bit about him two presentations ago with the Interstate League 1926. Ed Bolden was born in Concordville. As a small child, he and his family moved to Darby, Pennsylvania, and he lived the rest of his life on Marks Avenue in Darby. For people that are from out of town, Concordville and Darby are in Delaware County, Pennsylvania. So, and Delaware County, Pennsylvania borders Philadelphia. So Bolden spends his entire life living in Delaware County, and he has a connection to the city of Philadelphia. And what's really interesting is when I was doing research in his papers and I saw a business card for him and for the Stars' official address was 9 Marks Avenue in Darby. That's his home address. And their official telephone number was his home telephone number. So he's really connected to the team. The Stars weren't his first team, they were his second team. He led the Hilldale Baseball Corporation. Hilldale was based in Darby. He didn't start Hilldale. Hilldale existed for a year. He joins the team during its second season. In about the year 1917, along with other African American partners, Bolden forms the Hilldale Baseball Corporation. And with that support, Hilldale becomes one of the top teams in the eastern United States. And this, again, is an all-African-American organization. So this is really a tremendous leadership opportunity for Ed Bolden. We heard a little bit, again, two presentations ago about Ed Bolden. He has a ruthless streak to his personality. He's kind of hard to get along with at times. The 1920s were really the start of league play in black professional baseball. Andrew Foster in the Midwest starts the Negro National League. Ed Bolden and Andrew Foster don't get along, so Ed Bolden establishes the Eastern Colored League in 1923, and they're rivals of each other, kind of frenemies. They get along at times, they don't get along at times. And Hilldale, he leads them to the World Series title in 1925. Bolden spends close to 40 seasons in baseball. And for someone who spends that amount of time in baseball, it would be, I think, hard to find someone that had a perfect career all the way through. In the late 1920s, the Great Depression is starting, and it's hard for teams like Hilldale to succeed. Bolden has a ruthless streak. He wants to stay in business, and so he tries to dissolve the Hilldale Baseball Corporation. Other people stop in and block him. And the Philadelphia Tribune essentially writes his baseball obituary in 1930. They say, call him very nasty names, and they say that he is through. We mean through. He wasn't through. And this is April 24th, 1930. About 3 years later, again, this is March 1933, this is the front page of the sports section in the Tribune, and the Stars are in business. And you can see that Bolden has signed Raleigh Bismacki, Webster McDonald, Judd Wilson, three players who he knew from his previous life with Hilldale, three players who are going to help make the Stars very successful in their first two seasons. And yes, if you look at the smaller headline there, Galaxy of Baseball Aces to play for Ed Bolden's Philadelphia Stars, that was in fact the official team name. It wasn't Philadelphia Stars, it was Ed Bolden's Philadelphia Stars. And if you look on their official stationery, which are in Ed Bolden's papers, it's Ed Bolden's Philadelphia Stars. So his name is definitely attached to this franchise. Ed Gottlieb was a business partner for Ed Bolden. However, and starting in 1934, Gottlieb actually, it seems like he owns about 50% of the team. However, if you look in the pages of the Tribune, Ed Gottlieb doesn't exist as a co-owner of the Stars. The Stars are always Ed Bolden's Philadelphia Stars. Bolden signs the players. If Ed Gottlieb is mentioned, oh yeah, he was at the meeting. Or yes, this took place in Ed Gottlieb's office, but it's always Bolden who's at the forefront. And that is, and so it's an interesting kind of way that the Stars are portrayed. And Bolden does do a bulk of the administrative tasks for the Stars. So he would write letters to players, and he would sign the players, recruit the players. And when I was looking in his papers, a common theme that he struck was, I would very much like to have you play on my team next season. And these would be letters sent at the end of the season. These were sent to players that were already in Puerto Rico or playing winter ball in other locations. And as we get to the year 1941, when a lot of these letters are written, there's a kind of nervousness and anxiousness and desperation to him, because as we're getting to the end of 1941, what happens? America gets involved in World War II. And so now Bolden is concerned that he's going to lose players to the war, and he does. So he does recruit and he signs players. Another thing that he does is he distributes season passes. And one thing that is really noticeable when you look at the history of Bolden and the Stars was how much he tried to make the Stars part of the larger Philadelphia community. And so one person that he wrote to and distributed season passes to was a very prominent attorney, Raymond Pace Alexander. He would distribute them to the Philadelphia Tribune, and yeah, even one time to the Inquirer, which I thought was amazing, because usually when you look in the Inquirer, the Stars don't exist. White newspapers just didn't cover the Negro Leagues. And then every opening day, they would always make sure to have some a lot of festivities. There would be a march to the flagpole. The Stars would be dressed in the new uniforms. The other team would be there. There would be a marching band. And he would invite dignitaries for opening day festivities to throw out the first ball or to help coordinate them. So it was a point of honor to be given season passes to the Stars and to be there, especially for the opening day festivities. And it's important to remember that as Bolden is doing this, it's the Great Depression, it's World War II. This isn't an easy time in American history to be running a baseball team. And he's working a full-time job at the Philadelphia Post Office. And he was very, very well respected there as well. So he's really doing a lot of multitasking here. And then the inevitable happens. And I think it's easy looking back and saying, well, of course integration was going to happen. The Major League Baseball wasn't going to remain all white forever. When you look at the history of integration from the perspective of the Negro Leagues, it's something that as we get into the 1940s, a lot of the owners seem to think, you know what, this is going to happen. But it can't happen. We have to push this off. We can't let this happen because many of the owners, like F.M. Manley and others correctly noted, when the major leagues integrate, what's going to happen to the Negro Leagues? Would there even be a place for all black professional teams if there are white players on major, if there are black players in Major League Baseball? And the answer is, of course, no, there wasn't. So integration, something was gained. Jackie Robinson was able to suit up, play for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Roy Campanella, other Larry Doby, other players were able to do it. But as we've seen that there were limits to players in Major League Baseball, and when it comes to people like Ed Bolden, there wasn't a place for them, at least not in the 40s and the 50s in Major League Baseball. Now, when you look at Bolden, it's actually really, his views on integration are really interesting. Starting in 1942, Artie Lee, who was a secretary for the Stars, starts to write articles in the Tribune about how black players can help the teams like the Phillies and the A's. That's one of the few times that the Tribune actually acknowledges, yes, there are two major league teams in the city of Philadelphia. Bolden is open to integration. He says that anybody is welcome to negotiate with them. And because he spent really the bulk of his adult life in black professional baseball, he can't picture it not existing. But Bolden doesn't really do anything to prepare for what he sees as something that's going to happen and something that's beneficial. The Stars' primary home field was a ballpark they didn't own. It was located at 44th and Parkside. For people that aren't familiar with Philadelphia, that's in West Philly, kind of near where the Philadelphia Zoo is. And it was a horrible, dirty ballpark. It was next to a railroad roundhouse, and so people that would go there would be covered with soot and ashes. Players who were there remember slight delays as smoke had to clear from the field. So the Stars start to play more and more games at Shy Park. There's already two major league teams there. And so it was really hard for them to kind of establish themselves. There's already a full Philadelphia market. The last two things weren't specific to the Stars. Players would jump their contract, meaning they would look for something better with another team or with even in the Caribbean if something, you know, something better was available to them. And Negro League teams didn't play balanced schedules. And so these were two things that aren't specific to the Stars, but Bolden, with his leadership position in the league, really didn't do anything to fix those problems. And then after integration, starting in 1947, it's a slow but unstoppable decline. These are things that really snowball 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52. Bolden passes away in September of 1950. Team still has his name. Even after Bolden passes away, there's still Ed Bolden's Philadelphia Stars. And the Dr. Bolden that's referred to there is his daughter. And his ownership stake went to her. So even though Bolden isn't with the Philly, isn't with the Stars anymore, there's still his name is still there. And in a way, when you see what happens to the Stars, the fact that he dies in 1950 is kind of a blessing. So I think this is probably the worst thing that happened to the Stars. As I mentioned, you know, as everybody knows, there's the Phillies and the Athletics, but in the Tribune, up until 1947, it's like they don't exist. Starting in 1947, here's advertisements for Phillies games with the Dodgers. And then there's advertisements for the A's games with the Indians for Larry Doby. And so the Stars had to compete on the pages of the Tribune, which was a great booster for them with the major leagues. And here is an article from their last season from 1952. Hey, the Phillies Stars are a proving ground for the major leagues. That's great. This is a great article on the Stars. And in the little box there is progress reports on African-American players in the major leagues. So they had to compete for this constantly. The other thing that was lost was their home ballpark. After the 1947 season, 1948, they have to play on the road. The only the ballpark that's the most convenient for them is Shibe Park. There's already two teams there. Both teams are playing more home games, so that means that the Stars have to go on the road more often. And that article there about the Stars playing on July 28, 1952, that is their quote-unquote home opener. How can a team that doesn't play a home game until July 28 really have any sort of following in the city of Philadelphia? The answer is they can't. And I also have that article there because you have Stars playing the Chicago American Giants in Louisville, Kentucky. So they really are just a traveling road attraction, and neither team is playing in their hometown. This one, other articles, there's a little bit of criticism for the Stars about not playing more games at Shibe Park or finding another ballpark in Philadelphia. And what you also see in these articles is how young the players are. They're local players, and one of these players, he had to leave the team for a few days because it was his high school graduation. So the people that are running the Stars, who are Ed Gottlieb and the manager, Oscar Charleston, who we heard about earlier, are just desperate, and they're just taking anybody that can come their way. So when the Stars go out of business, their players are made free agents, and in fact, one of them was signed by the Phillies. Of course, he doesn't play for them. And there's mention that the Stars are made free agents. Ed Gottlieb has the Philadelphia Warriors, but Oscar Charleston has nothing. You know, he isn't being recruited by any major league organization, even though he was a fantastic player, he was a very talented manager. He doesn't have an opportunity to play in the major leagues, and had Ed Bolden still been alive in 1953, the same would have been true for him. He would have been forced into retirement, even if he wasn't ready for that. So integration had great opportunities. It was something that had to happen and should happen, but something was lost in the transition. Teams like the Stars that were lost, and also, immediately in the 1950s, there weren't opportunities for people like Oscar Charleston or Ed Bolden. Thank you. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. So in the pages of the Tribune, he's a silent partner, but yeah, Ed Gottlieb was not, I think you're saying that he's not a silent person, correct? Yeah. I mean, he was a kind of silent partner. He was somebody that everybody who was affiliated with the Negro National League, the Negro American League, knew he was there. He scheduled games, he booked games for them, but this is one of the few times in the Stars' 20-year history where he's actually referred to as their owner. He's the promoter, he books games for them, but as an owner, it was primarily Bolden. This is one of the few times.
Knowing a little bit about
not Bolden. I think that was more Godley. And amazingly, when the Stars played at Shy Park, they were able to use the A's facilities. Connie Mack let them use it. Connie Mack, of course, wasn't really open to having black players with the Athletics, as these articles, there's more articles, especially from 1952 and 1953, suggest that the Tribune's starting to put a little bit of pressure on both the Phillies and the Athletics to have a player on their rosters. Gottlieb was the one. Gottlieb would book games at Shy Park, and so he was the one that would do that. I don't see a lot of connection between Bolden and Connie Mack or whatever lovely individual was owning the Phillies at that point. I mean, there is the bizarre story about Bill Beck wanting to purchase the Phillies and stock them. I have no idea if that's true. As a Phillies fan, I would love to think that was true, and they would have a completely different history, because I think they would be much better than they were. But yeah. With Bolden,
yeah.
Actually, primarily because they played a couple of games at Phillies ballpark, but when they really wanted to use a major league stadium for their games, they would use Shy Park, and so their affiliation was more with Connie Mack and the Athletics than it was with the Phillies. It's hard to, you know, I did do research in Ed Bolden's papers, and I didn't see any sort of correspondence between him. Really just one letter between him and the Philadelphia Inquirer. A lot of it was between him and the Philadelphia Tribune, which was the largest black newspaper in the area. I don't see a relationship between them and the Phillies.
How did they lose their lease at Hillside Park? And also, were they covered by any media signs, tribunes, or any radio coverage?
Not much, no. In terms of other media coverage, the Pittsburgh Courier, Chicago Defender would also cover them. Primarily, a lot of, because it was Bolden. Bolden had a name, he had a history, and so his name was always associated with the Stars. The ballpark at Parkside was in such bad condition that, from what I understand, it just, they said, we can't use this anymore. And so it wasn't that they lost the lease. I think the ballpark wasn't usable anymore. If they did lose the lease, it would be for financial reasons. 1946 is a great season for Negro League teams. 1947 isn't. 1948 is even worse, and the Negro National League actually disbands after the season.
One question.
The saddest story was a young man named Stuart Slim Jones. He went, anybody that's familiar with Negro League baseball history, Stuart Slim Jones was like a Satchel Paige clone. They had a very slimmer body type. They had a couple of great showdowns. And 1934 was his best year. That's also the year when the Stars won the league championship, and he was instrumental in that. Sadly, he suffers from alcoholism, and he has a very short life, and it's a very sad story. Another prominent player was Eugene Benson, who played for them. They also had Marvin Williams, who had a few tryouts with major league teams, Henry McHenry, Turkey Stearns. They had players who played for them that weren't necessarily in their prime anymore. So, yes, they did have some good players. Some of them, sadly, were a little bit past their prime.
Thank God.